Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back to the series. It's great to catch up with you as always. I know while markets vindicate your Roaring 20 scenario, Burkhard, some media outlets question if this could all be a bubble. For example, a recent Wall Street Journal article has a headline, Why Bubbles Can Keep Inflating in Plain Sight, or even Barron's recently wrote last week, bad news attract a lot of attention, but markets just keep going up. And then you have the New York Times recently wrote, the next economic bubble is here. So I'd like to return to the age-old question, Burkhard, are we in a bubble?
Well, I also hear the same question from investors, Dan. You know, I recently wrote about what I perceive as a bubble and fears of a bubble. So the bears see an everything bubble that'll soon burst. They point to the high valuations, mention some meme stocks, and suggest that this is all or mostly driven by FOMO, the fear of missing out. In fact, the expression, the bubble in everything, has been around for long. Been there when the Yellen years were taking markets higher, and it became widely associated with the helicopter money stimulus of the lockdown era. So in other words, we've seen this movie before. In fact, a walk down memory lane of Wall Street from today all the way to the great financial crisis in 2008, 2009, so 16 years ago when the S&P traded at 666 points, is actually littered with bubbles that burst. None of them, however, caused a calamity. Instead, they created great buying opportunities. And, you know, that's part of the point to make here. And so here we are today with U.S. real GDP at a record high and the S&P 500 trading more than 10 times higher than back 16 years ago. And, you know, similar things this year happened around the world where record high stock markets also reflect record highs in real GDP. Now, we believe in a bullish Roaring 20s scenario. That's not a tactical view. That's a strategic, a longer-term view, as I've said before. And we think this can lift global markets and, more importantly, the economy much higher during the second half of this decade. In fact, except the short two-month lockdown recession in early 2020, the last recession struck the U.S. 16 years ago in 2009. And so I suspect that the waiting for Godot recession warners will be pretty frustrated if Godot doesn't come and markets keep grinding higher because earnings grow and inflation remains tame.
Well, Burkhard, I certainly take your point, but 16 years after the financial crisis, isn't it reasonable to suspect some cracks in the economy or complacency caused by a seemingly one-way market?
Well, you got a point, and I'll say yes and no to that. So yes, just like you, I'm scared about complacency. I agree that fearfulness can be a virtue in investing, but not too much. Because the only thing that the stock market does, in my view, is to reflect two things, and this is important. The stock market only reflects earnings and interest rates. That's all. And the proverbial music only stops when earnings drop or yields go up. So without a recession, which we simply cannot see right here, right now, earnings are likely to keep markets roaring. That's the important conclusion from our Roaring 20s analysis. Having said that, I do agree that there may be a few bubbles and meme stocks and a lot of margin debt from professional investors. And yes, of course, bubbles burst because that's what bubbles do. But, you know, when you analyze today's systemic risks, they pale compared to the great financial crisis or before that, because private sector balance sheets are strong. Corporate earnings are at all-time highs. Baby boomers are wealthy. The labor market remains solid. Inflation is tame, and global financial market supervision is more comprehensive today than it was back in 2008. And so I think that when markets correct or bubbles burst, there'll be buying opportunities, not carnage. Like this year's April's Liberation Day that led the S&P's PE down to 18 times, or October 2022, when the S&P traded at 3,400 points and a PE of 15 times. Those sell-offs illustrate the adage that time in the market matters more than timing the market.
Great guidance there, Burkhard, and interesting considerations. However, concerns about a bubble in AI infrastructure spending haven't exactly ebbed. What if the tech industry is building up too much capacity, relying on circular financing? Isn't that like the TMT bubble back in 1999 when telecom companies borrowed excessively, overinvested, and provided seller financing to their customers?
No, I really don't think so. For one, the TMT industry back then was over-leveraged to start with. Today's infrastructure and data centers are mostly funded from record-strong cash flows of the hyperscalers. And there's not one big company which owns all data centers, but they're owned by many different businesses or even individuals. And that diversifies the systemic or investment risk. Now, imagine data center owners do cut their investments because they do prove to be best capacity, well, then their costs will go down, and so their cash flows will go up. And that's a big difference to the TMT bubble of 99. And bear in mind that none of the bubbles that burst recently derailed the economy. Let's look at a few examples. One can argue that there was a bubble in the ARK Innovation ETF in 2020, and that burst without causing any collateral damage, and it's doing fine since April this year. Well, remember there was a bubble in SPACs in 2021. That too burst without causing any troubles. Actually, SPACs seemed to stage a renaissance. So what? Some air also came out of bubbly bitcoins in 2022, but that's now back over $100,000. There had also been, I remember, a bubble in a big global yen carry trade, which burst last year in August and caused the S&P to fall 8.2% in just a couple of days, but that again created a buying opportunity in the S&P at about 5,100 points. And, you know, who knows, there may or may not even be a bubble in gold, which we talked about last week, but gold might also be a hedge to many investors against the global bubble in government debt. And bubbling government debt, you know, his investors fear a rise in long yields, but our view has always been that just as Japan has controlled its yields for so long, so would the U.S. or Europe if push really came to shove. And so here we are at record highs in real GDP and almost everything. And we think that the economy and therefore markets too have room to grow. So my best advice is tune out some of the noise, check your strategy, keep a cool head, and maybe most importantly, stay invested at all times. There may even still be a Santa rally before the year draws to a close.
Well, Burkhard, very helpful guidance, insights, and clarity on today's episode. You have been a steadfast supporter of the Roaring Twenties and a higher-for-longer bull market scenario. So with that, you've certainly helped our clients here at UBS separate the noise from the market. So thank you very much, Burkhard, for joining our listeners, our clients on today's episode, and do look forward to catching up again with you next week.
Likewise, Dan. It's always a great pleasure to be here with you. Thank you for having me. And you too have a great continuation of your day.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.